First Chronicles 16, verse 7. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all of his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment for your inheritance when you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Let's pray. God, we just seek you today. We seek you in this moment. Holy Spirit, just please move and have your way in our hearts. We submit to you, Lord. We honor you. We honor your presence in this place. Lord Jesus, any distraction, anything holding us back, anything from giving you everything, I just pray that we would just move it to the side of our hearts, that we would move it out of the temple of our hearts, and that we would just acknowledge you there in that place. Lord Jesus, I just pray right now that any distractions be removed in your name, Jesus. I pray that we would receive a word from you. Spirit, I just pray that you would bring dead things to life in this moment. Lord, we just put our hope in you. Pray the gentleness of your Holy Spirit would just touch people in this room. That where there's been shame and condemnation and guilt, that as your gentleness touches them, they would just be reminded that you're a father and they're your child, and that you just love them, and that you only correct to get them back onto the right path. That where there's been correction, there would be repentance and just a return to the path that you've called your children to. Jesus, where there's been anything out of alignment, we come into repentance with you and come into alignment with your word. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Deuteronomy 32, verse 7 says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him. And there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields, that he might draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle and milk of the flock with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the choicest wheat. And you drank wine, the blood of grapes." This was Moses' song to the Israelite people as they were getting ready to enter into the promised land. And there's a warning in here. And there's a reminder to look back. Look back on all that God has done, but be warned as you go forward, do not forget him. Verse 15, "But Jeshurun," Israel, "grew fat and kicked." You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese. "Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation." It's a warning then and it's a warning today. Lord, don't let us grow fat and obese. Let us not grow rebellious and kick against you. "They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods, with abominations. They provoked him to anger. They worshiped other gods then. We worship other gods today." People still worship the old gods. They just put different names on it, different labels. But it's still worship to Satan at the very heart of it. When you listen to music today, when you watch movies, when you watch TV, you can see it. It's hidden in the messaging. And what do they want to do? They want to draw people away from the one true Lord. They want to mock Christianity. They want you to discard it. They want you to take it lightly, to not honor the Lord our God. That's what demons do. They want worship, and so what do? They try to distract us, and they try to deter us from worshiping the one true God. Even when we come in here on a Sunday, and I know that there's new people that come in every week. We're in a great season. The Lord is bringing in new people into our house, and I know new people come in, and one of the very first things I always hear is, "Wow, that was a lot of worship. He's worthy." That's why we do it. He's worthy. And it's a reminder when we get into this place of worship, who we put at the front of our heart, who we place there. And we're blessing this house with anointed men and women of God that love him and desire to honor him and make this a place of his presence. I felt the presence so strong, Jamie, when you were singing that last song. Jamie, thank you for honoring him with your gifts. Thank you, Jamie. don't grow fat. Don't grow thick. Don't become obstinate. They provoked him to jealousy in verse 16 with foreign gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. And we hear that and we think, we don't sacrifice to demons today. We don't do that. Yes, we do. We still do it today. We still make a sacrifice. What's a sacrifice? It's where we take something of value and we give it up for something in return. What are we doing? When we give something of our value, of our time, of our talent, of our treasure, where are you giving that? Are you giving it to? Are you giving it to 4 hours watching a Taylor Swift concert online? That's a sacrifice to demons. Like if you give more attention to the false idols of this world than you do to the Lord, then it's become a demon that you worship. People don't want to hear that, but it's true. Follow your bank account. If you're willing to drop thousands to go to Disney World or go to whatever, Taylor Swift concerts or Super Bowl, whatever, Husker football games, I don't know why you're spending money. I'm just kidding. There, okay. If you're giving thousands to that and you come in and you give the Lord $5, where's your heart? Your treasure is where your heart is. And where your heart is, that's where honor is. Honor is tied directly to value. How much do you value the Lord? Do you value him more than the things of this world? Who are you really sacrificing to? Who are you giving what you've earned to? And so we give in this house, we give our first fruits to him because it shows that we honor him above everything and everyone else in this world. And then guess what? Some of the things of this world, some of them are still okay to enjoy. In fact, you will get more enjoyment out of those things in this world when you put him first. That's what we learn as we dig into his word. What did Solomon say? Solomon said everything was meaningless. Everything that he sought after in the world, at the very end, he had everything. He was the wealthiest. He was the wisest. He had it all. And at the end, what did he say in Ecclesiastes? It was all meaningless. Keep the Lord first. And then guess what? What does he do? When you give him your first, when you tithe that tenth to honor him and put him at the place that he belongs in your heart, then everything else is redeemed and everything else is better. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. And when the Lord saw it, he spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. If you feel like there's a block between you and the Lord, have you spurned him? Have you turned your back on him? Because it says in James, if you will draw near to him, he will draw near to you. That's what he wants today. He wants to be near you. He loves you. He desires you. He cares for you. First Samuel 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw." And if the man said to him, "They should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires," he would then answer him, "No, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And then you jump down there to verse 22. These are Eli's sons. Eli was the priest. His sons were also priests. They were acting corruptly, going against what God's word had described. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22 says this. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So not only were they stealing from the offerings, they were also laying with the women who came to worship at the tabernacle. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?" Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. Disobedience, transgression against the Lord will lead to the Lord's desire to kill. That's a tough one to wrestle with there. He desired to kill them. And the child Samuel, while all this is going on, there was a child who his mother came and asked for prayer. She could not become pregnant. And she said that, "I would give up my first son and give him to the Lord. I would consecrate him to the Lord, to his service." This was Samuel. Samuel was born. And she weaned him and then came and brought him to the tabernacle and gave him to the priesthood. And so while all this is going on with Eli and his sons, her son, who had been consecrated and set apart, it says, he grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. He grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. How do you do that? You follow his word. You set yourself apart. It starts with the parents. It started with the mother. She set her son apart. She consecrated him. She said, no. He belongs to the Lord. He's my first. If the Lord gives me one, I give him right back to the Lord. She gives her first and her best, her child. And what's the Lord end up doing later on? We find out the Lord gives her three more. A woman who was barren ends up giving birth to four, but she gave her first to the Lord. And he was raised up in the house. There was a different set of expectations on his life than the lives of Eli's own sons. Eli had lower expectations for his own sons than he did for Samuel, who was growing up in the house. He taught him the word. He taught him how to listen to the Lord's voice, how to discern it, how to prophesy. He taught him how to walk with God. But somewhere along the way, he missed it with his own kids. Don't miss it with your own kids. That's your first ministry. The first thing you're called to, love the Lord your God above all else. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But then your children, if he blesses you with children, and I pray that he does, it's a blessing. Remember that. They're not a burden. It'll feel hard at times. It'll feel difficult. You'll want to say it's a burden. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. And you just keep speaking that truth, and you keep reminding yourself in those hard times, and you keep prophesying and believing, no. I know this child is a gift from God. That's your first ministry. Love those kids. Raise them up in the house. Teach them to love the Lord. Teach them to love his word. Sit down and read with them. Take the time at night. Take the time at night. I know you had a long day at work. You had a hard day. You had difficult conversations you had to have. And you're tired and you're worn out and you got little kids and you just want to go to bed. But it's 6 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock and you got time. I'm telling you, you got time. Don't miss this time. We've been sitting down these past few nights, especially since we started the fast. And we've got this comic book action Bible. It's great for kids. It's great for adults, honestly. You'll learn a lot. We sit down and we just, our goal, let's just read at least one story a night with them. Sit down with your kids. I know what you want to do because it's the same things I want to do. I want to eat. I want to sit on the couch. I want to do nothing. I want to turn on the TV. I want to scroll mindlessly through my phone. Don't do it. Don't do it. Sit down with your kids. Open up the Word. And just begin to read with them. Get that action Bible. Get that comic book Bible. You'll learn. You'll grow. As you begin to disciple and minister to your kids, guess what? You're going to grow. You're planting seeds. And so even in the hard seasons, even in the difficult moments when they're obstinate, they're rebellious, they're kicking against you, they're, every word that you say, they come right back with attitude. Remember what you're doing. You're planting seeds. And there's a psalm that David wrote. I can't remember where it's at now. I was in it this week. But it talks about God's gentleness brings about change and transformation. Parents, be gentle. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Be gentle with your kids. Be patient. I know you get mad. I know you get frustrated. I know you get angry. If you do, if you struggle with those things, here's what I would tell you. If you're not fasting, jump in on this fast. Because if you start to fast, you won't have any energy left for anger. All right? That's what God's been blessing me with. My wife is just looking at me every night like, are you even awake? Like, I'm just like, just trying to make it to 8 o'clock. And then I'm going to bed. But that's what I noticed this past week before we started the fast as a church. I just was struggling with my anger towards one of my kids who was being a little rebellious. And I kept blowing up and getting angry day after day. But these last few days since I started this fast, I'm just like, I don't have the energy to be angry. Come here, sit down, let me talk to you. And I'm like, oh, that's what the Father does. That's what the Father does. That's what he wants to teach you in this fasting season, to just lean on him. To quit trying to do and force and pull out of your own power and out of your own strength. So if you haven't started the fast yet, jump in. We got these nice bookmarks. You get scripture every day for them. You can sign up for it online. And you can do all kinds of fasts. If you've never fasted before, you can just try one day. Just try one day. Just go sun up to sundown. And you'll start to feel that need for the Lord. You'll start to feel a lot of things. You'll start to feel pretty hangry and mad, and you'll really start to have some regret. You'll be like, why did I say I was going to do this? But if you'll just sit with the Lord, all of a sudden you'll start to realize, oh, I'm starting to hear his voice more clearly than I have been. That's why we fast, because you begin to draw near to him, and you begin to rely on him, and you begin to need him in a new way. Because all the things that you were doing out of your own power, out of your own flesh, out of your own strength, all of a sudden you realize you don't take those for granted anymore. And you just start to lean into him. I got here early this morning. Pastor Stone and I, we come and we set up chairs. You know, and I texted him. I said I was bringing my kids. He was like, good, these chairs are hard to move. I haven't had food in how many days? I was like, all right. So we started setting up chairs, and we noticed the trash needed to go out. And I was like, all right, I'll take those bags out. And so I grabbed these two bags thinking like, this is nothing. And I get down these stairs and outside, and I'm like, Lord, I need a break. But everything that you took for granted before, your own power, your own strength, your own abilities, when you begin to fast, you begin to realize, Lord, I need you. I need you. That's why we fast, so that we'll just lean into his presence. Lean into him in this season. Stop trying to do it on your own. 1 Samuel 2 Verse 22 says, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. In this season, I'm just praying that you'll begin to grow in favor with the Lord as you lean into his presence. Chapter 2, verse 27. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me?" That was Eli's sin. He honored his sons more than the Lord. To make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Eli was in it with his sons. We find out later on the way he dies, it's described that he was old and heavy. He'd gotten fat. He didn't have self-control. Somewhere along the way, he got lazy. Somewhere along the way, he said, "This is good for you, but I don't need to do this anymore." That might be somebody right here, right now. You might be thinking, "No, no, no, that's good for others. I don't need to do that. I'm seasoned, I'm mature, I don't need to lean into the Lord, I don't need to fast." Don't let pride grow you old and fat and obstinate. Don't let pride grow you rebellious in this season. Lean into him. Chapter 2, verse 30, "Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Who do you honor? What do you honor? Because if you honor the Lord, he will honor you. But if you despise him, it says, you shall be lightly esteemed by him. I told you last week, honor literally in the Hebrew, it meant heavy. And the very opposite word that meant light is described as like a feather in Hebrew. It was light as a feather. That word is curse. So if you don't honor him, you'll be cursed. You can live in a life of blessing, or you can live in the life of the curse. He doesn't want to curse you. He wants to correct you and get you back onto his path. So let him. When he says something, when he speaks something, when you read something in his holy word, repent and get back into alignment with it. Live the way he's called you to live. It's a prescription for the blessing. That's what his word is. Some of you are wondering, why does it feel like I'm living under a curse? Because you've gone outside of his word. His word is a prescription for blessing. When you walk in it, there's a blessing that comes alongside it. But if you treat him lightly, you walk in the curse. Verse 31, "Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm in the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house, and you'll see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. But any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart, and all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall die, both of them. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before me, before my anointed, forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and say, 'Please put me in one of the priestly positions that I may eat a piece of bread.'" Do according to what's in his heart and his mind. If you decide to jump in on this fast, if this is your first week and you're just hearing about it, just begin to ask and pray to the Lord. Lord, show me what's on your heart and your mind. Because guess what? As you start to do that, he begins to change the desires of your heart. And it says, as that happens, you'll begin to receive the desires of your heart. But if your heart is for the world, you will not receive those desires. But if your heart begins to get aligned with his heart and his house, his mind, all of a sudden you'll begin to receive the desires of your heart and you'll see him moving and working. Lean into him in this season. Worship team, you can come up as we get ready to close here. Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Ephesians 6, 1 through 2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It's the first command with a promise. When you go through the commandments, you get here to number 5, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. And then Ephesians, once again, look at that again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We're having this night of honor on Friday to honor a spiritual father and mother for Steph and I both. They've come alongside us. They've walked with us through this season. And I'm just asking you, come out and just, and please understand, like, treat these people with honor. Treat them as if they're heavy, as if they're valuable. They are, because of their blessing on our lives and our marriage, our entire church, our entire house has been blessed. And when you honor those who the Lord has sent into your life, when you honor those who are spiritual mothers and fathers in your life, the Lord raises you up. There's a promise that things will go well for you. I still remember a shift in our church spiritually last year in the fall when Pastors Matt and Carrie came and spoke to some of our leaders on a Saturday. And I just remember feeling that next day on a Sunday here in worship that something had changed in our house. And we went through after that one of the hardest moments of our house, where we began to see people that had been with us from the beginning. We began to see some of those people leave in that season. And we were just wondering, Lord, what happened? What shifted? But what had happened was when we had honored them in our lives, it actually prepared us and strengthened us to carry more weight. There's a parable of talents in the Bible. You can be a one-talent person, you can be a two-talent person, you can be a five-talent person, and if you steward it well, what's he do? He gives you more talents. And he was teaching us in that season to steward what he'd given us. And as he did that, what was he doing? He was strengthening us. There was discipline in that season. There was a strengthening, because you have to get stronger to carry more talent. And there was a shift that happened spiritually in our house. Where in the natural, we saw people leave, but in the spiritual, we saw people grow. We saw people get stronger in this house. This is a house that can carry more weight. And in this next season, that's what God's going to do. He's preparing us to carry more weight. He's preparing us to carry more talent. So we treat him with honor in everything we do. Whether it's in worship, whether it's during the word, whether it's in kids ministry, whatever area or part of our house that you're involved in, that you're walking in, we carry that heaviness to honor the Lord in it. If you feel like you've been going through it this past year, I just want to encourage you. If you went through a hard season, that was a preparation season. The temple tells us in 2 Samuel, the temple where the altar was first erected, 1 Samuel 24. It says this. The anger of the Lord had been aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. So the king said to Joab, the commander of the army who was with them, now go throughout all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and count the people that I may know the number of the people. This brought judgment onto the people. It says David's heart was condemned later on in the story. And he said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done, because it was out of pride that he moved into that time to call a census over the people. But now I pray, Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. And God sent a prophet named Gad to David. And Gad told him, the Lord has given you three options for punishment in this season for your sin. And David said to Gad, I'm in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning till the appointed time, from Dan to Beersheba. 70,000 men of the people died. And when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. Then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, surely I have sinned and I've done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said to him, go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David, according to the word of Gad, went up to the Lord and commanded. Now Araunah looked and saw, and the king and his servants coming toward him. And they went out and bowed before the king. And this was the place where they erected the altar, and eventually the temple would be placed there. And the threshing floor in the Jewish language, it meant literally door of teeth. It was meant to just, that's what you use to just beat the grain, to separate the chaff from the grain, so that you could just have what is left, that it would be holy and pure. And so if you've been through the threshing floor this past year, if you've been through the door of teeth, I just want to encourage you, hold on to him. Hold on to him in this season. Because the devil wants you to turn on him, and the devil wants you to treat him lightly. But if you'll continue to honor him, you'll see on the other side of the door of teeth, pure and holy grain. A harvest that's worth fighting for. Don't give up when you're going through the door of teeth. It hurts, it's painful. But let that become the place of your sacrifice. Let's pray. God, we just thank you. We thank you for this moment. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would just be a living sacrifice to you. Lord Jesus, I just pray that we would be separated in this season from the world and its desires. That we would be set apart, consecrated for you. Lord Jesus, please, I just pray that we would hear your voice more clearly than we've ever heard you before. That we would just lean into your presence in this season. And that where the devil tried to destroy, that you would just rebuild us again, that you would refine us, that we would just see how you use those moments to just beat the chaff off of us, that we could be pure and holy grain, a harvest for you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship him.